Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, here we go. It is a Tuesday. We are live in Los Angeles. I've got a beard. Joy's got a haircut. It is 2020 Reboot. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, live in Los Angeles, this is The Herd. Thanks for joining us on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Joy is back after mechanical issues with a certain airline. Let's not get into it.
Yeah. We're here, though. We made it. You know, it's different now in COVID. There's not as many flights either. So if a flight just gets canceled, you're stuck where you are, even if it's Miami where there's two airports. So.
No, Joy called me panicking Sunday, and I'm like, it's okay. I get it. The airlines, half the seats, a third of the flights.
Yeah.
Great to have you back. Do we all understand that Tom Brady is playing for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers Sunday?
Crazy.
Football season is here. It starts Thursday. Sunday, you got the Saints, Drew Brees, and Tom Brady. So, hello, football season's here. We haven't had a preseason, therefore you haven't had as much marketing. Everything's changed with COVID. Football season, Tom Brady is playing Sunday. Now, I want to start with this story. There's two types of fans. We're not fans. We have been fans, but there's two types of fans. The first fan is, you know, often born in a town, never left his town, on a message board all day. The media is just the bad guys out to rip his team, and he's often 42 living with his parents. No bad news, he doesn't want to hear it. There's the other type of fan. He's grown up. He doesn't call his mom in his 40s if he's got a big decision. He asks his wife. He's not on the message boards all day. He kind of finds him amusing. He's probably traveled a little more. He's okay with bad news. He roots for his team. He wears a sweatshirt. It drives him nuts when they lose. It ruins his Sunday when his NFL team loses. But he's a grown-up. He can handle bad news. Here's a story that will divide a fan base. Green Bay's first-round pick Jordan Love isn't even Aaron Rodgers' backup. He's number three. The backup is somebody named Tim Boyle, who played at some place called... Well, he's undrafted. He played at... Did he play at St. Francis or UConn? He's undrafted. Oh, no, Eastern Kentucky. I'm sorry, I'm not familiar with him. He beat out Jordan Love, the first-round draft pick. Fan one, Packer guy, cheesehead, never left his hometown, on message board, the media's out to get us, is going, it's just a developmental pick. This is no big deal. I understand it. But fan two, a little more sophisticated, can actually handle some occasional bad news, is saying, was Aaron Rodgers ever number three? Didn't we get crushed twice last year by San Francisco? Shouldn't we have people capable of playing this year? This seems kind of bad if you can't beat out Tim Boyle, right? Whose last big win, I'm told, was in 2017 over something called St. Francis. Isn't it kind of something? The story today, according to the GM of the Packers, our first-round pick, who we moved up to get, he said, obviously, Tim's quite a bit further ahead than Jordan Love. He's been here much longer. Folks, it didn't take long for Peter Schrager at this network to come on my show and said, this kid named Patrick Mahomes, this is his rookie year when he didn't play. He's going to be the next star. It didn't take long, two practices, for people in Baltimore to say, Lamar's not ready yet, but you're not going to believe what this. Pete Carroll did not want to start Russell Wilson his rookie year. He just gave Matt Flynn $10 million a year. Second week of practice, he was a team captain. So what kind of fan are you? Are you the fan that thinks we're the enemy and we're just out to get clickbait? None of us were to get paid that way. Or are you a fan that's actually realistic and thinks, didn't we get boat raced twice by San Francisco? Weren't we down by a combined 50-0 at half to San Francisco? Couldn't we draft people in the first round that actually potentially play if Aaron Rodgers gets hurt? I don't know. All I know is Joe Burrow's going to start game one. Cam Newton's been in New England 45 minutes. He picked up the offense. He's going to start. a third of the NFL either has a quarterback with a new system or a system with a new quarterback. And I'm not counting new coordinators. And they're all playing. I'm sorry, but I was always fan two, even as a kid. I didn't mind bad news. I was okay with it. I didn't love it, but I was okay with it. I got to be honest with you. First two draft picks for Green Bay, both this morning are third string. There's two groups of fans. If you think Jordan Love not being able to beat out Tim Boyle is cool, come on now. I mean, come on now. Undrafted quarterback beat him out. Offenses are not easy to figure out. They're not calculus. I mean, Joe Burrow starting week one. All right, so last night the LA Clippers trailed for most of the game against Denver and they won. And this is why, when it comes to the NBA playoffs, there's very few upsets. Had last night been a regular season game, Denver would have beaten the Clippers because they outplayed them. The young kids with a bright future led for almost the entire game. In the regular season, the young team outplays the veteran team. In the regular season, the young team plays with more urgency, and the Clippers are in too big a hole, and they got a game tomorrow night, and they had a game two nights ago, and one guy didn't play because, you know, his left ankle's kind of sore. But last night was the playoffs. So trailing 97-90 in a playoff game, Doc Rivers goes, timeout. He gets all the veteran, the men, not the kids, the men. And he goes, fellas, let's play some defense. And Denver was then outscored 21-6. And then Michael Porter couldn't get all those dunks. And Jamal Murray wasn't as good. And Jokic couldn't find open cutters. In the regular season, Denver wins this game. In the playoffs, and this is what I've said about the Clippers, why they're going to win, the Clippers win the game. Doc Rivers, the veteran coach, calls a timeout, looks at veteran Paul George and veteran Kawhi Leonard, says, fellas, okay, let's go. See the clock? Let's change the game. People always say, I always think this is the silliest, most overdone segment in sports talk radio and television debate shows. Can you flip a switch? Yes, we all flip switches all day. All day. Oh, boss walks into a room. Hi, Boss-a-Rooney. How are things? Can I get a cup of coffee for you? Wife walks into the room. Listen more. Kids walk into the room. Talk more. Our whole lives are a series of conversations, flipping switches, changing our personalities based on, are we talking to a boss? Are we listening to our wives? Are we dealing with our kids? Are we dealing with employees? Are we the employee? Of course you can flip a switch. Last night the Clippers did it. Great teams have always done it. When Tim Duncan and the Spurs and Popovich were in their prime and really an incredible dynasty, they never dominated in the regular season. They took nights off. They didn't care about the number one seed. And all of a sudden, switch flipped. They won. Basketball maybe is unique. Maybe you can't do it in hockey. Maybe you can't do it in baseball. Maybe you can't do it in football. But in basketball, we all know who the best players are. We know who the best team is. We know who the deepest roster is. And Denver is a terrific young franchise. Joy and I have said this. Dallas is going to get way more press because of Mark Cuban and Luka. I'm not sure anybody's got more good young players than Denver. They're really good. Miami and Denver, watch out. Really good for the next 5 years or more. But last night, Denver wins if it's a regular season game. It's a playoff game. Timeout, 97-90. Fellas, time to put in the handcuff defense. No easy baskets. Get more physical. Doc Rivers talked about it late in the game.
Just all our defense down the stretch. You know, the game came down to one of the two teams was going to play some defense. And for 3.5 quarters, you know, both teams were basically scoring. And then the last 6 minutes, it was our defense. We had our lapses. There's no doubt about that, Andrew. But overall, when we locked in, we were really good.
Yeah. I've said there's 8 teams in the playoffs. 7 are good to pretty good. 1 is occasionally capable of being great. It's the Clippers, and they were for 6.5 minutes last night. Regular season, they lose it. Playoff game, they win it. And that's why they'll end up in the Western Conference Finals, and it's why they'll beat the Lakers, and it's why they'll win the NBA championship. All right, this is Thursday the NFL starts. Texans, Patrick Mahomes, and the Chiefs. And Sunday is It's Brady and Breeze. The NFL is here. We've had no preseason to talk about it. Here we go. At the top of next hour, my first herd hierarchy of the year. We've had situations. There's a couple of teams I had in it 2 months ago. I've dropped out because of players opting out and injuries. This is our first herd official herd hierarchy of the NFL season at the top of next hour. And coming up next, an NFL franchise made a mistake, and they've just got to own it, and that's really hard. I'll speak for men here. That's really hard for men to do. An NFL team just needs to own their mistake. That's coming up.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Geico.com. Offering 15% credit in car, motorcycle, and RV policies. Switch by October 7th, right around the corner, geico.com. NFL season's here, starts Thursday. It's great to have you in. It's been a different summer. It's weird. It's been so hot over the last few days on the West Coast. It doesn't feel like football. Usually football feels like I can smell grass. It's cool. It's been so hot. So it doesn't feel like football, but the NFL starts in about 48 hours. And Sunday, it's Brady debuting for Tampa Bay against Drew Brees. It's here. And it's so funny. Like guys, I'll speak for men here, especially alpha males, like successful guys. It's hard to admit they're wrong. Wrong. Not wrong. All right. And so we make mistakes and we try to justify it. In 1990, I bought a blue tile for my kitchen. So I justified it for the next 2 years buying furniture that matched it. And then somebody came in and told me, nobody puts blue tile, dark blue tile, on a kitchen floor. But for 2 years, I bought a bunch of crap that tried to match it, furniture literally, around the kitchen to justify it. And then I realized I don't like blue furniture either. I made a big mistake. You've all gone to the Home Shopping Network at night. You buy that knife that can cut a quarter, but you've never really needed to cut a quarter. You need to cut an enchilada for dinner or something, right? Or a steak. And you buy a couch that's uncomfortable, and you sit on it night after night, and you're like, this isn't comfortable. I'll go buy a beanbag for $32. This is what the Bears are doing. Ryan Pace drafted Mitch Trubisky. He's trying to justify it now. He's talking about all his new qualities that he discovered as he came into camp. Here goes.
A lot of confidence right now. You can feel it in his comfort level in the offense and his command with the offense. And just really the moment camp started, Adam, the moment he walked in the building, you just felt a different presence and a different mindset. And that carried him throughout camp. So just proud of the way he's conducted himself.
His presence has never been the problem. His professionalism has never been the problem. The problem is he's an average arm talent. There ain't no special. He wasn't special in college. He's not special in the NFL. He throws for about a touchdown a game. And that's with a really, really clever offensive coach. He's a good kid. He works really hard. This is not personal. But I've said this. Joe Burrow, who I've been critical of, is a much, much better prospect. Baker Mayfield is a much, much better prospect. Andrew Luck's not even in the same galaxy. He's a good kid. Guys struggle to acknowledge they make big mistakes. Chicago, you bought a steak knife that cuts through a quarter. You don't need to cut through a quarter. You got blue tile for your kitchen. Admit you whiffed. You could have had Mahomes. There's a lot of guys you could have had Deshaun Watson. You made a mistake. Eric Mangini's thoughts on what the Bears are trying to now sell us.
This is one of those situations where it's just going from bad to worse. You don't pick up the fifth-year option. You obviously don't have a ton of faith in Trubisky. And you go in and get someone that you think you're going to bring in and is going to start and going to be an upgrade. And you've got to give away draft capital to do it. You've got to make a significant financial commitment to do it. And then he can't win the job. And there they are. They're stuck with two guys that the whole not just the coaching staff in the organization, but the whole team knows there's no enthusiasm for.
You cannot fool the players. You whiffed, own it, move on. Joy Taylor with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
That is absolutely a man thing.
So you guys can just own it.
Oh, we love to return stuff to the store. Didn't like it. Take it back. No, thank you.
Not me.
Return that. I got a couch like 8 months ago, 9 months ago. Was in the house for 2 days. I called them. I don't want this thing. Get it out of here. I am not committing to anything that is not going
to
work.
I don't like to admit when I make a big mistake.
It's fine. I mean, why would you live with the mistake instead of getting rid of the
mistake? Because I just don't make a lot of mistakes, and I'm very, I did not make a mistake with that knife.
It is definitely a man thing. So the Bucks were able to hang on and avoid the sweep in game four, even after Giannis left with an ankle sprain. He is listed as questionable for game five today. He's reportedly feeling much better than he did, similar to that he did going into game four after his first ankle injury. And after Monday's practice, Mike Budenholzer said Giannis was getting treatment around the clock and is going to try and be available to play. They beat the Heat 118-115 in overtime on Sunday night, which I got to watch from Miami since I was stuck there. But that was because of Chris Middleton. He had 36 points, 8 rebounds, and 8 assists. Did what the number two guy is supposed to do in that spot.
He was great.
He was great. A little bit too little, too late.
Ask yourself this. If I'd have told you before this series that the MVP gets hurt, and it's not really the story of the series. The story of the series is Miami has shut down Giannis.
Yes.
The story of the series is not this injury. It is Eric Spoelstra's defensive game plan. And by the way, Nick Nurse did this a little bit last year. They've been able to kind of marginalize Giannis. And it's the second year in a row in the playoffs. You're like, he's not as dominant when it matters.
It's interesting you mentioned that about Nick Nurse. Because now there's kind of started to be a book on Giannis as to how to shut him down in the playoffs. And that's not entirely Giannis' fault, right? If Chris Middleton was doing this every single night.
Yes.
This wouldn't be it's not that it's been easy for Miami, but right. That game plan wouldn't necessarily be a right. Plug and play situation. No team's ever come back down from being down 3-0, and so this series is likely over tonight.
It's over.
But that's really the issue. And honestly, I know Giannis wants to come back and play. All players wants to come back and play. Honestly, after the KD situation, if you know essentially that the series is over, which it essentially is,
yeah.
I don't like the idea of pushing him out there. And that, look, I'm a Heat fan. Obviously, I want them to win. They're going to win the series anyway.
Milwaukee didn't play well at the end of the regular season. They didn't play well really in the bubble. They weren't as good defensively, and they didn't play well in the playoffs. This is who they are right now today. Milwaukee is not as good as we thought they would be. It's okay to say it. Some teams in the NBA, Miami's better than we thought.
Right.
Milwaukee's not as good as we thought this year.
And the bubble has changed a lot of things.
Yes.
It is neutralized. There's no home court advantage. There's a lot going on, but everybody's playing with the same circumstances, right? So yeah. Fair is fair, however you want to call it.
Right.
This is a very big deal that Giannis and the Bucks are going to get knocked in the second round. Forget that it's by the Heat. This was the year that they needed to win the championship, not lose in the second round. To be down 3-0 to the Heat. So there's going to be a very interesting reaction to... I think the fact that he got hurt will maybe soften it a little bit for him.
Yeah.
But it's going to be similar to KD in Oklahoma City, where he kind of just constantly not got a pass, but we weren't as hard on him. And then eventually became, is KD going to take the next step?
Right.
And that's what's going to happen for Giannis. So the Celtics dominated the Raptors in Game 5 last night to put the reigning champs on the verge of elimination. Boston never trailed in the 111-89 win and had a lead as big as 30 points in the third quarter. The Celtics starters outscored the Raptors starters by a staggering 93-45. And now they have a chance to punch their ticket to the Eastern Conference Finals on Wednesday, leading the series 3-2.
Yeah.
They gave the Raptors a little bit of life with that last-second walk-off shot. They should have won that game, and then the series would have a little different look to it. I'm really kind of surprised at how the Raptors have looked in this series, though. I thought
Siakam has not played particularly well.
Yeah, they've really been very, unlike the Raptors, very up and down.
Yep.
Like they haven't had their consistent play.
Kemba Walker's been really good for Boston.
Yes, but Boston also has been great defensively, which is why they look the way that they do, and the series has gone the way it's gone. I think the Celtics are going to win this series now, but it's just kind of a very... The Raptors just looked completely un-Raptor-like. It was very dysfunctional, throwing anything up. It didn't look great last night. So finally, as the first overall pick, Joe Burrow was expected to get the starting job for the Bengals this season, obviously. But head coach Zach Taylor says Burrow didn't get the job by default. He earned it. He said, "I know that he was really the starter the day he walked in the door, but he's done everything to verify that for us and earn it." He will be the only rookie quarterback to start week one this season.
With the worst surrounding cast, by the way. Justin Herbert and Tua have much better surrounding casts.
And they will not have to be out there. Well, so yeah. Tua, Herbert, and obviously Jordan Love. But I'm cautiously optimistic about Joe Burrow because I can't tell, and we won't ever really be able to tell until we see him play,
yeah,
if this is all just hype coming from the Bengals or if he really is as good as I think he was in college and going to be in the NFL.
Yes.
Obviously, he has the worst surrounding cast, as you mentioned. But if he can improve them even a little bit in these circumstances, I'm going to be impressed this year.
So I'll say it again. I think his NFL comp is Tony Romo. That is no criticism because I defended Tony Romo for a decade on another network. I constantly defended Tony Romo, who I think has more natural talent than Dak, not nearly as much as Troy Aikman or Roger Staubach. So I think Burrow's got some Tony Romo in him. He's a playmaker. He's a good player. He lets it rip. Can he overcome the Bengals organization? And that is not a small thing.
No.
Josh Allen, to me, has been made by his coaching staff. Josh Allen, Lamar's talented enough, he's going to win games anywhere. Josh Allen would be man overboard if you put him in Cincinnati. Josh Allen is a playoff quarterback in Buffalo with that coaching staff.
And he has great players around him, Josh Allen.
Yes. Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Lie News.
The, you know, it's interesting about, I have, the top of the hour, I'm going to do the Herd Hierarchy, our first of the year going into the season. So Doug Gottlieb will be joining us here eventually. So Peter King was on yesterday. There's two things. First of all, I believe when I'm a talk show host, I come on, I tell you authentically what I think. This is what I think about stuff. It's amazing to me. You go on social media, and if a conservative has a talk show, a conservative has an opinion, everybody's like, he's doing that for clicks. If a liberal has an opinion, they're just woke. Has anybody ever really thought that conservatives give conservative opinions, Democrats give liberal opinions on the internet? We're not all making stuff up to make you happy. I tell you what I think. I don't troll. That's not my thing. I mean, I poke people in the ribs occasionally, but I'll give you an example. Is that Raider fans are just, they just can't believe that I don't like them this year. And there's this narrative out there, the Raiders are going play. I think they're going to be terrible. So yesterday, Peter King came on. And I was shocked by this. Peter King has the Raiders as a playoff team. So let's play the tape here, Peter King yesterday.
The last 2 years, Mike Mayock has basically said in the draft, he said, look, I love big-time players from big-time programs. He's picked the best players out of the biggest programs. And he's done that for 2 years in a row. And I think he is gambling that the chemistry experiment they do is going to pay off. I like the Raiders. I feel the same way about Carr that everybody else does. You know, he's kind of in prove-it mode to me.
Okay. There's three reasons I don't like the Raiders at all, and I think they're going to be a bad team this year. Two of them are just a gut feeling. The third is not disputable. Number one is I don't think the personalities of Gruden and Derek Carr are ideal. John, I know John. John is blunt. Derek is sensitive. Number two is relocating teams historically struggle. Most of the relocating teams ever won is 9 games. But the third is not disputable. This is a bad team last year. They were blown out 6 times last year by 18 points or more. That's like a college. That's a bad college outcome. They never beat a playoff team. They were 0-6 and usually blown out. Week 12 on, they scored the fewest points in the NFL. Now, I want you to think about that. Week 12 on, with John Gruden, Derek Carr, who's capable, and a bunch of rookies that popped, they scored the fewest points in the NFL. And we like that part of their team. Don't confuse interesting pieces with good football team. Go look at their schedule. This was a terrible team at the end of last year. They were getting crushed. They couldn't score. Everybody always says, you know, I like the Raiders' offense. It's the defense I worry about. No NFL team, including Cincinnati, scored fewer points week 12 on. Look at their schedule. Their gimme is opening up at Carolina against Teddy Bridgewater and Christian McCaffrey. Then it's the Saints, it's Bill Belichick, it's the Bills, it's Patrick Mahomes, it's Tom Brady, it's the loaded Cleveland roster, it's the really talented Chargers. The games they should win, Atlanta, Jets, Carolina, they're all on the road. This is a rough schedule for a relocating team that was blown out six times last year by 18 points or more. This one, I do not get. I don't get the Raider love. I do get Doug Gottlieb. He is now joining us. Brought to you by Mercedes-Benz, the best or nothing. All right, let's start with this. Jordan Love, third string. I look at that and I think, yikes. That's undrafted guys, too. Am I overreacting? What's your make of it?
You are overreacting, Colin. I mean, Jordan Love is a year away from being a year away, right? That's how he was sold to us as a draft prospect. And I know that people are going to say that's a wasted draft pick. No, it's not. This is a player who has a ton of potential, but it's just that. He didn't even have a good year last year at Utah State. So to anyone who thought he was going to play this year, there's no OTAs, no rookie minicamp, and he's a guy who's not refined. The Green Bay Packers are playing the future game, and it was a smart play for late in the first round of the draft when all the wide receivers were already gone. It shouldn't be a surprise to anyone, and to anyone who thinks there's one wide receiver they could have taken late in the first round that would have changed their prospects this year, I would argue name that wide receiver, right? It just T. Higgins doesn't change the Packers one iota in terms of their ability to make the Super Bowl, in my opinion. Whereas Jordan Love, worst case scenario, he doesn't play for 3 years and Aaron Rodgers is great and they trade Jordan Love and they probably get a first round pick in return because he's been training under Aaron Rodgers for 3 years. This shouldn't be a surprise. People didn't pay attention. They simply thought and freaked out that because he's a first round draft pick, he has to be taken. But everyone in the NFL knows he's a future play, not a current play.
So I don't think the Raiders were good last year. I think they were awful at the end of the year. I don't think they're good this year. They're relocating, and their offense couldn't move the ball last year, and we like their offense. Your thoughts on the Raiders, and is there a bad team from last year in the NFL that you actually like this year and you think flips it?
Okay, well, there's two parts to that question.
Right.
First, the Raiders – I would agree with you on from this standpoint. Do I think they're a playoff team, even with the expanded playoffs? The answer is probably not. I think the Broncos still don't know exactly what they have at quarterback, but they've rebuilt their roster. It's pretty talented. You and I both have a great amount of respect for the Chargers roster, even though they've lost their best player, Derwin James, for the year. We just don't know about Tyrod Taylor. I will say Tyrod Taylor doesn't turn it over and is mobile. Those are the two things that Phillip Rivers didn't do last year, right? He turned it over a ton and he's completely immobile. Chargers think they'll be better. So that division is stacked and we know what we all think of the Chiefs. I would challenge you this. I think the Raiders have been hurt more by not having fans than any team in the National Football League, right? The whole plan was to build it for this year, for the crescendo, for the new Allegiant Stadium to be just a madhouse when the Saints come in. And now there'll be nobody there. So I think they're really hurt by not having fans in the stands. I believe they'll be a much better football team. I think that this combination of Mayock and Gruden is rebuilding the roster. It is going to be a long, sustainable build. But do I think that it ends up being a challenger to the Chiefs in the AFC West? No. We all know that they're not committed long-term to Derek Carr. They don't think or know he's the guy, which means he's probably on his way out unless he has some spectacular season. And that means to me, without full commitment to your quarterback, you're not great. But are you better than you've been? Absolutely. Think about the roster that they took over going back three seasons ago. Think about the moves that were made. They were all building and building and building. And hopefully they would get the support of Raider Nation flying in on Southwest from LA and Ontario and Oakland to Vegas. Now they won't have any of that. So I'm not as down on the Raiders long-term as you are, but short-term, I generally agree with you in arguably the most talented division in football. They're not a playoff team. As for, do I think there are bad teams that can from last year that can make the playoffs? I think everyone's talking about the Arizona Cardinals. I'm intrigued because I do think they have a dude at quarterback, right? Murray is a spectacular talent. I do think that they have some pieces on defense, although it took a while to figure out how to protect the quarterback and how to play defensively, considering how they're playing offensively. And that also is a very – so for them to make the playoffs, you got to not believe in the Rams. You got to not believe in the Seahawks. You got to not believe in the Niners. That's a hard one. But they're one of the teams. And then, of course, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who were a bad team last year, but or a below 500 team last year. You add Tom Brady. You add some other pieces. I do think they're a potential playoff team this year. And then the Falcons are another team who, if you look at the midway point of the season where it felt like everyone was getting fired, when they put Raheem Morris in charge of their defense, suddenly everything changed. The Falcons, the Buccaneers, Arizona Cardinals are three non-playoff teams who I'd expect to challenge from playoffs.
And NBA, I said earlier, if last night was a regular season game and you trail by seven late and you got a game tomorrow night, Denver, young team, played with urgency, probably wins the game. But it's the playoffs. Doc calls a timeout. They trail by seven, fourth quarter, six to go, and says, fellas, time to play defense. Paul George, Kawhi Leonard. And it was like, that's the difference between a regular season game last night and a playoff game. The veteran coach timeout, Kawhi, Paul George do their thing. What do you make? I mean, that Kawhi is getting a lot of talk about the one finger block, but what did you make about the last 6 minutes of the game and the Clippers' defensive energy last night?
Well, I thought it was phenomenal. I thought it was championship caliber stuff. I think you pointed out that they're, you know, you said how Houston and LA can't win the title. And I do think that one of the reasons is because the gear that we know the Clippers have. I also think we got to give some credit to Paul George, who we all crushed for the self-given playoff P nickname. And I think the mental issues, the mental health issues that he went through in the bubble, I think are very real. And I think other players have suffered through some of them as well. It's just not a normal way to live your life, to compete and to play your profession, to be in a bubble for 2.5, 3 months. Look, they're the best team. They're the team to beat. I don't think there's any arguing of it. But I also think that Kawhi Leonard's ability to change a game defensively is something we've seen from very few. LeBron James, obviously, one of the others. And it's why I would consider him the best player in the league. It's what changed with Kevin Durant the last 3 years before he got hurt, is he decided to buy in and be a very good defensive player. If you can play both ends of the floor, you can make up for a lackluster offensive night. I'm with most people, though. I was a little disappointed the Clippers sleptwalked through most of that game, but also impressed by their ability to flip the switch and then close the deal and beat the Denver Nuggets.
By the way, not too much time, because I know Milwaukee's not a fascinating team, but to me, this is going to be one of those teams like the Phoenix Suns or Sacramento Kings that we thought were going to reel off a title or two, and then you wake up one morning and go, they may not get there. What do you think happens in Milwaukee a year from now? What do they look like?
I mean, my guess, and by the way, I don't think we thought they were going to win a title, right? Me and you.
No. I had the Clippers. I think we both had the Clippers winning.
Right, but I had the Clippers going against the Celtics. It's not just Mike Budenholzer's the coach. I think it's the style of this team. And look, you know, some of the guys that have been maligned have stepped up and played well when Giannis has been out. Like, let's give them credit. Giannis gets hurt. Giannis doesn't play. They could be eliminated, and they step up and make plays. That said, they're not going to win three more games in the series, especially if Giannis can't play in two of those games. I don't see that happening. I see panic. Right? That's what happens with people. He may not sign a Supermax contract this summer. That sets up for one of those years where they try and throw everything at it. Look, the mistake that was made last year. Malcolm Brogdon was a 50, 40, 90 guy, would be their starting point guard, is solid defensively, a much better shooter than Eric Bledsoe. They gave the money to Bledsoe. Brogdon went to the Pacers, which isn't a great fit. And I think that if you put Brogdon on that team, they go to the NBA Finals. So they made some mistakes in personnel over the past couple of years, specifically last year. I think they panic. I think they change some pieces. I'm not sure it matters, but they're not winning this year. And I think Giannis likely turns down a Supermax contract, even though he says, like everybody says, oh, I want to stay here. They want to stay until it actually comes the moment where they have to sign their contract.
Yeah, I agree. But keep your eye on Miami, by the way. Bam, Giannis, Jimmy Butler, Eric Spoelstra, pretty good roster potentially. Doug Gottlieb.
But why would they change? Why would Miami change? Why do you have to add more? I don't understand. Miami's really, really close. Those young guys are really, really good.
Well, close and winning championships. I mean, Pat Riley has been Pat Riley knows you got to go get a Shaq. You got to get a LeBron. You can be close with Jimmy Butler. You want to win next 5 years? I think you need another big star. That would be my guess.
Can I give you one more thing?
Sure.
Isn't it fascinating that you have two former MVPs, and Giannis is going to be a two-time MVP? They can't shoot. And Russell Westbrook, you're leaving. He's what you call in the NBA open for a reason, can't shoot. And, like, look, LeBron at times has struggled with his confidence in his jump shot, but it really is fascinating that here you have two, what I think anyone would deem superstar players in a Russell Westbrook and Giannis Antetokounmpo, who cannot shoot a basketball, don't have – it's not just confidence in their jump shot. LeBron, it's a confidence thing. With those guys, there's something flawed, screwed up with Russell Westbrook's jump shot, and there's been something changed with Giannis's jump shot, which has made it worse, not better.
Yeah. Doug Gottlieb, Dugger, Fox Sports Radio, after my show. Good stuff, buddy. Thanks.
Nice beard.
If it's a beard, I'm not sure if this qualifies. Coming up next, I swear to God I'm not trolling on New England. Much like the Raiders, I think the data's all there. New England's going to be terrible this year. Herd Hierarchy top the next hour. The Herd.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Say hello to Casper. Outrageously comfortable. Fair prices, though. Casper.com. Check it out. Pillows, duvets, the whole works. So now it's time for another edition of Colin Says Obvious Stuff and Yet Gets Yelled At and Hate Mail. Like the Raiders aren't going to be very good because their schedule's tough and they were awful last year. Now it's time to say something else that's obvious. The Belichick-Cam thing has worked better, at least from a PR standpoint, than I thought, but this is going to be a really bad football team. But I will acknowledge Belichick likes Cam, Cam likes Bill, kumbaya. They're all saying great stuff. Here's Uncle Bill. Very stoic, Bill. Belichick went on to say, Cam's worked really hard. He's done everything we've asked. So far, so good. But this feels really obvious to me. Let me just point out a couple little odds and ends. After Halloween, which is late October, the Patriots scored 25 points once against the dreadful Bengals. That was with Tom Brady, who had memorized the system. They were 4-5 in their last 9 games. They have had 8 players opt out, and they lost several key starters to free agency and replaced none of them. Oh, yeah, the draft, they're not great at that, and never, never draft somebody that makes an immediate star impact. Oh, and let's throw this out there. Peter King on the show yesterday brought up an interesting point on how little firepower they have offensively.
Pro Football Focus has been doing numbers on every NFL player for the last 14 years, since 2006. And collectively, the receiving core of the New England Patriots in 2019 was the worst as a team that they've ever graded on any team in 14 years.
Yeah, it's like, this is not disputable. No functional tight end, no deep threat. The legendary offensive line coach is gone. Brady's out. Gronk's gone. It's bad. So here's the good news. I have them at 5-11. That's where I have them finishing, 5-11. I have until Thursday to make amendments to my predictions. I'm thinking about 6-10 because the Cam Belichick thing has worked pretty well. But I thought they'd be 500 when Cam arrived. Then they had 8 players opt out. Didn't replace anybody in free agency. It's like, okay, this is a bad team. So look at their schedule. Now here's the good news if you're a Patriot fan. Belichick historically is a nightmare for young quarterbacks. I mean, he literally eats them alive. Josh Allen and Sam Darnold have faced Belichick about a half dozen times. They've been awful in all of the games. So the good news is they face the Broncos, Bills, Jets, Cardinals, Dolphins, Bills, Jets. Young quarterbacks. Those are the games where I think New England has a chance to not score much, but just win a game based on turnovers, special teams, you know, a Belichick win. But the rest of that thing is 37-year-old Ryan Fitzpatrick, Russell Wilson, Derek Carr, Mahomes, Garoppolo, Lamar Jackson, Deshaun Watson, at LA and at the Rams, Goff and Tyrod Taylor. Tyrod Taylor makes no mistakes, been around the league a long time. He's not going to be duped into a 4-interception game. And Jared Goff's got a lot of weapons. I just don't think they're very good. And as I've said before, I don't believe the NFL, Jacksonville's tanking. You can call it whatever you want. I don't care. But I think Belichick knows there's three world-class quarterback prospects next year. He knows because of Brady, you can't win in this league at the elite level without superstar quarterback play. And I think Belichick knows he had a losing record in Cleveland when he didn't have that. And I think New England is targeting a restructuring year. Take the year off, guys. Won't replace free agents. Drafted projects more than star players. I don't think New England's a good football team. I think they're 5-11, 6-10 max. And I think the Raiders are equally abysmal. And I don't think they're hot takes. I think if you look at the schedule, I look at last year at the end of the year, the Patriots were bad and couldn't score. The Raiders were bad and couldn't score. I don't think in a year with no OTAs in preseason, you can flip that around. I don't think you can do it. I think if you're bad last year at the end of the year, you need OTAs, you need a good draft, you need free agency. You just don't shake a wand and go, we'll be good. They were bad last year. They were bad. Raiders were bad, and the Patriots at the end of the year could not beat good teams. The secret to staying sweat-free this summer is Tommy John's cool cotton underwear. Men and women, go to TommyJohn.com. If you put in the code HERD, H-E-R-D, 20% site-wide off your first order. TommyJohn.com, code HERD. Our first HERD hierarchy of the year, top 10 teams next.